Morning. Welcome to worship. Special welcome to all visiting today and those here to celebrate Kay Haugen's 93rd birthday tomorrow. Congratulations. And a happy birthday also to daughter Sandra, whose birthday is actually today and after the service. I wasn't given a number with that one, so we'll just leave that alone. Following the service, if anyone wants to stick around and sing happy birthday at that time, we can do that. So we have a couple other announcements, and please note that we have our virtual Lenten Bible studies that are continuing through this the weeks of Lent this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And if you'd like to be a part of that, it's on Zoom. You can email me. My email address is there in the announcement box, and I can send you the invitation link for that. So, and also, we have our other midweek Bible study, the Shady Oak Bible study, which will also be on Zoom following at about 7:45. And Pastor Giovanni here can give you more information about that. His contact information is with the rest of ours on the back page of the bulletin. You might have seen the yellow insert for the bulletin that if you'd like to help decorate the sanctuary for Easter Sunday, April 4th, you're invited to bring a potted plant or a vase of flowers in memory of or honor of a loved one. And please have the flowers here at the church by 9 a.m. On Easter Sunday, April 4th, and then please take them home after the service. And if you can let one of the people listed here, Becky or Kathy or Joy, know by Friday, April 2nd, that you're bringing flowers, then they can compile a list to indicate who those are in honor or memory of. All right. That is the announcement. Just a note looking forward, Palm Sunday. 2 weeks from today, right? 2 weeks from today already. Wow. Palm Sunday, normally we would have our pancake dinner that day, but due to obvious reasons, we're not doing that on Palm Sunday this year. We hope to do it perhaps early this summer, but note that our schedule for worship, we will have Sunday school on Palm Sunday. Normally we don't, but this year we will have Sunday school, so it'll be our regular Sunday schedule on Palm Sunday. But on Easter Sunday, we have worship at 9:30, earlier service on Easter Sunday. So just note that on April 4th. Okay, any announcements that I have neglected to make? Well, then, let us proceed with our main purpose for being here today, and that is to worship our Lord. Our call to worship is from Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for being good, for loving us with an enduring love. And Lord, as we hear your word, as we come together in your name today, may we sing your praises from our hearts. Set us free to confess our sins and hear the words of forgiveness. Feed us with the bread of life from your word. And may we go from this place refreshed to tell their story, to tell our story, the story of your redeeming love. We ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. I invite the congregation to rise as you're able to worship the Lord in song as we are led by our praise team.
Verses 1 and 2 and 5 and 7, 5 through 7. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. You may be seated for our next song, Jesus Messiah.
Glory to you, God.
Invite the congregation to rise as you're able for our confession of sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who have given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us. To those who believe, and for his sake forgives us all our sins, to those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may we count it a privilege that you bid us to come to you with the concerns in our hearts, to ask you for good things, and trust that as a loving Heavenly Father, you do give good things to your children who ask. Lord, we pray for good for our community, for our state, for our nation. We pray for our elected leaders, that you would give them good judgment, wisdom, courage, and all they need to govern wisely, not by human wisdom, but by your wisdom. We pray, Lord, for all those who serve public, that you would protect and strengthen them, Lord, during these trying times, and that you would help your people, believers in Jesus, in our community, in our state, and throughout the nation and the world, Lord, during trying times, Lord, to rise up and point people to you through selfless deeds of love and mercy and through your word. May it be proclaimed boldly and purely. And we pray, Lord, for Dan as he visits Chad and the Lutheran Brethren Synod's annual convention. Pray for fruitful meetings, for a united vision and synodical mission focus, and pray for Dan's conversations with pastors and synodical leaders throughout the week. May they be kingdom-advancing conversations. And we pray for his protection and safe return here at the end of his trip. We thank you, Lord, for joys that can be celebrated. We thank you for granting Kay 93 years on this earth and for blessing her with family and friends. And we do pray your blessing upon their gathering and celebration. And we pray, too, for those who are healing from sickness and surgery. Pray for Patsy and Bud, Lord, that you would give them healing and strength, and others, Lord, according to their needs. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus, who taught us also to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And Father, we too pray your blessing on Pastor Giovanni as he brings your word to us this morning. We ask it in your name. Amen.
You'll see a scripture posted up, John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. This is my great pleasure to preach on a most familiar text you might see in there, John 3:16. You should know that one, right? Well, there's some bits around there that we might not be so familiar with. So we'll get to hear this word. And I'm excited because it is a gospel word. But we see it's gospel found in the midst of trouble. There's trouble and there's good news. So let's get to it. Let's read. If the congregation, as you're so able, would please rise for the reading of the gospel. We'll read John 3, 14 through 21. It begins. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be plainly may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. You may be seated. Coming into the light. Ooh. Well, you hear this word today, you hear it from your Bible, you hear from the Gospel of John, as recorded, chapter 3, we have it nicely outlined, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Well, in the original, Jesus is speaking this to Nicodemus, right? He's speaking to a religious leader, a Pharisee, someone who is versed in the scriptures, who knows the scriptures. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. Well, what's that all about? So the Son of Man must be lifted up. So we're giving and we're getting the mission of God here outlined. Jesus is telling the people, what you saw Moses do, that's what the Son of Man is going to do. And in a full way, in a way that Moses was only foreshadowing, typifying what Jesus would come in fullness to do. Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. Let's take a look at that. It's from Numbers. That's all the way back in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the fourth book. Numbers chapter 21. It says in verses 4 through 9, this is when the Israelites and the Hebrews were wandering. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food, no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among them. The Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze, put it on a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent and live. Wow, what a scene. We see this serpent lifted up on a pole. We know this image, right? You see this image in the medical field. It's a symbol of healing. We've taken it. You've seen it in the hospitals. Many cultures in the ancient world have used this symbol of the serpent on a pole. You can look back in history throughout the ancient world. This symbol is a big part in many cultures. And we see that God used this symbol. He used it with his people. We even see in the time much later, in the time of Kings, in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4, during the time of King Hezekiah, in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4, I see some of you scrambling to get there, so I'll pause up a second. We need to get this, because the people are looking up at a serpent raised up on a pole, and they're being healed of their deadly snake bite. But this became questionable, right? Does this sound like our religion? Does this sound like Christianity? In the time of King Hezekiah, he removed the high places. He smashed the sacred stones. He cut down the Asherah poles. And he broke into pieces the bronze snake that Moses made. For up until that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. So the Nehushtan, this serpent on a pole, became something it was not meant for. People are burning incense to it. That was not what it was meant for. It was meant for this time when people were being bitten by snakes and they were healed. They looked at it and were healed. So King Hezekiah, he came. He didn't like what was going on. Seeing incense burned to this thing, he destroyed it. But Jesus takes us back there for its true meaning again when he's speaking to Nicodemus, when he says, this is what it's really about. He says in verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. This Nehushtan, they call, is not meant to be worshipped or burn incense to. It's something that's pointing us to Jesus in this Torah of the Jews, in this book of Numbers, in this story about the Israelites already is God's mission and plan of salvation for all peoples. It was a type showing us in the time of trouble, in the time when death was very imminent, all they had to do was look up and be saved. Look up at God's provision. This is what God provided for you to be saved. You looked at it and you were healed. So Nicodemus must be familiar with these scriptures. He must be familiar with this Nehushtan, this serpent up on a pole, and what it was all about. And hearing Jesus once again bring it to mind from the scriptures, this serpent on a pole is directly related to the mission of God. It's directly related to the mission of the Son of Man. The Son of Man must be lifted up. The Son of Man must be lifted up. When you're lifted up, why? It's so that everyone can see. It's so that everyone who is afflicted in the trouble can see. This is the provision of God. The Son of Man lifted up. Just as the serpent was lifted up on the pole in the wilderness, the Son of Man is lifted up for all to see and to believe. Look, God has provided. What was afflicting the Israelites? The deadly bite of a serpent. And so too, what afflicts all people? The sting and the deadly bite of death. Sin and death. We look at Christ, the Son of Man, lifted up for our salvation. Is it too hard a thing for us to see, to look, and to believe with eyes of faith? Is that all that's required? That was all that was required for the Israelites, to look and to believe. It says, Jesus says, "My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day." The words of our Lord, "My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day." This is our provision. The Lord has provided the means of our salvation. In the midst of our trouble, in the midst of our predicament, in the midst of our lives immersed in sin and death, God has provided by lifting up the Son of Man. And the Son of Man has been lifted up for all to see. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith. This requires faith, doesn't it? Behold the Son of Man lifted up. From first to last, it is of faith. From the scriptures of old until now, all testifying about what God has done in His mission to seek and save the lost. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So we say, what does Christ, the Son of Man, have to do with the serpent lifted up? He bore our sin. He took our sin upon Him. He became sin who knew no sin. And He was lifted up, hung from a tree on the cross. So as God's co-workers, as it says in the Bible, as co-laborers in the mission of God, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. These are the words of Paul. He says, "In the time of my favor I heard you, and the day of my salvation I helped you. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life. Now, I thought about this message, trying to unpack it, give illustrations, and I'm like, I'm just overcomplicating it. I'm going to tell you how it says it here. You just look at the Son of Man lifted up. He did it. He did it. It's not going to become by some fancy way of explaining. This doesn't make sense. The gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. If you get a deadly snake bite in the time of the Israelites, to look up at a serpent on a pole, these were not ignorant people, as some suggest, because they were in ancient times. They too had to exercise faith in believing in God's provision. The Son of Man lifted up for us to behold our salvation, which God accomplished. The cure for the sting of death. In Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us, you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you lived. Following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. It is by grace you have been saved and raised up with him. Lord, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So the Lord, he sent forth his word. He sent forth his word. Why? These people in the wilderness, they got bit by venomous serpents. What did they do? They turned to Moses. Moses was the prophet, and he interceded for the people, just as our Lord interceded for us and still intercedes for us to this day. Jesus. And the provision was given, the cure, the way to life. When they had death in front of them, when they had death all around them and terror all around them, a plague of venomous serpents, deadly serpents all around, and you live in the wilderness, there's no escape. We need a provision. We're surrounded by death. I tell you, church, God has made that provision. He has provided. All that is required is to behold the Son of Man lifted up and to believe that God made the way. Jesus doubles down on this, that God made the way. The Son of Man is lifted up. He says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his one and only Son, his only begotten Son. It's pure gift. In the midst of our trouble, in the midst of this crisis, it is the gift of God that gets us our life. But not just life now, eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. They say John 3:16 is pure gospel, one of the finest and most concise descriptions of the gospel in all of the Bible. And we remember it, maybe we memorize it in Sunday school songs, but we have to sit with it for a while. And do we believe? Do you believe the report? Well, some do not. And Jesus tells us, This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Evil deeds. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear. For fear. Why? For fear that their deeds will be exposed. Do we fear this exposure? Is this fear that our evil deeds being exposed keeping us from believing, keeping us from receiving the salvation that God has provided? We confess together that we are sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against the Lord in thought, word, and deed. Now, let's be real. Let's be real with the Lord. We know who we are because God's law shows us who we are. He shows us. But He does not leave us only with the law to condemn us. He does not leave us with this message saying that we're doomed for death. He does not leave us in darkness. Instead, the word says, light has come into the world. In the darkness, in your darkness, light has come. This light is of God. It is God, provided by God. God Himself, Jesus the Son, come to you. Oh, Lord, gracious Father, that we may believe, that we may believe in your provision of the Son, who is Son of Man, high and lifted up, your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven to be for us what we could not be, perfect and sinless, an offering, a substitute, our ransom, our salvation. In Him we rejoice. In Him we have life. No matter what's going on around you, you see the Son of Man lifted up for your salvation. Lord, you have provided and you continue to provide. You give us life. May this life live in us, be in us, through us, and we in Him. He who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever, and we may participate in this new life, in the mission of God. Oh, man. I love it. I love it, Stavanger Church, because these things that Jesus tells us, tying the whole Bible together from Numbers to the Gospel of John, showing us God's plan, God's word, compiled through many, many years with all the same message centered in Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, who is lifted up. In the time of favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. Once again, Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. And whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. Behold the Son of Man lifted up. Believe and enter into eternal life. Why? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him may not perish. May not perish as those who were bitten by those poisonous serpents and did not believe, who refused to believe, who refused to come into the light because of fear that their evil deeds might be exposed. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. That's interesting. It's very interesting that those in darkness fear coming into the light. They fear why? Fear that their evil deeds might be exposed. But Jesus tells us, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Let us enter into the light. Let us believe. Let us look upon the Son of Man, high and lifted up. This is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is the gospel of God. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you, God, who have loved us so much, that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Thank you for this gospel, Lord. Thank you for showing us a way, for illustrating it in such a way that we might understand, to behold the Son of Man lifted up, to believe unto salvation, to enter into new life, to walk in the light as you are in the light, to be people in the light, to be people of salt, to be people of light in these days of trouble, to be people of good news in these days of trouble. Equip us, Father. We know that we merely need to ask you, and you provide, for you have provided it all. You did not withhold even your only Son. How much more will he give us if we only ask? Thank you, God. Help us to believe. In your name we pray. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
May you rise as you're able. Let's sing our closing chorus. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.